Amen, somebody. Say amen. All right. We're going to continue on a little bit from what we talked about last week concerning praying for your idols. I was going to spend some time. Just let me read a couple things concerning, first of all, concerning water baptism, because we're going to have a baptismal service next week. I just want to mention a couple things. I'll talk more about it next week. But just to mention a few things, that one of the reasons why Christians are compelled or commissioned or exhorted to go through water baptism. Some of the meanings. One of the greatest things that we do when we go through the waters of baptism, we signify that we are in union with Christ. In other words, we're declaring that we're in union with Him, that He's in us and we're in Him. Another one, great experience that we go into of what water baptism represents, it's an initiation into the Christian community or the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a sign that of something that we have done and have committed to say that we belong to the Lord, the body of Christ. And another one is that we are, one of the reasons why we do it is, of course, that we are commanded to by Christ Himself, and something that's practiced in the church. By going through baptism, we signify that we are identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when we say we're being baptized into Christ, means we're being immersed in His person, but also in His teachings, in the revelation that comes forth through His life itself. And also, the water baptism is an outward sign declaring to the world that something has happened on the inside, that we've been born again, that we've been regenerated by the Spirit of God. What do I mean by regenerated? I mean our dead selves has come to life. Our dead spirit has come to life, has been re-fired, if you will, and brought to life when we go through water baptism. It's an awesome thing. And so I want you guys to come now next week. People are going to be going through the water baptism, and to be praying even this week that you might have a word from the Lord for them. For them, when you might get it in your prayer time, but you might have a word of God, a prophetic word for them that will bring strength and encouragement to them. Be praying about that. Last week, we started off talking a little bit about Abraham and about how he was brought out of the land, his homeland, really, and brought into a new land because God wanted to do something absolutely different than what mankind had walked into before. Wanted to take him out of the idol worship experience that he had been experiencing, him and his family had been experiencing. Now, when you look back and see where Abraham was and how his whole family was worshiping idols, we should be able to get a grasp of how prone man is to want to tap into the realm of the Spirit. The realm of the Spirit is where you and I were meant to live. Although we're in the natural, and it seems that we get most of our insight, most of the things that we need and so forth from the natural, man was created a spirit being. And God put that spirit in a body. And before man fell, he was very spiritually aware. In other words, if we were to look back in Genesis, we would see that when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says that their eyes were opened. Well, what does that mean, that their eyes were open? They certainly weren't born. God didn't create them blind. But something happened when they sinned. It says that their eyes were opened, and the next words say, and that they knew that they were naked. So in other words, their eyes were open to the flesh. The flesh began to dominate now. Where the spirit dominated before, now the flesh dominated. You and I have been originally created so that the spirit realm would dominate the things that we do. And we would do everything from that context of the spiritual realm as opposed to the natural realm. The devil has been trying everything he could to get us to focus and operate totally in the natural realm or the flesh realm. God wants us to see things from the spiritual realm. Now, man is prone to look in the spiritual things or touch the spiritual realm, and they do that many times by, we'll say, looking at the dark side. Man is prone to mess with the gates of getting into the spiritual realm. Remember Jesus' words when he said, anybody who steps in or goes in, climbs over the wall is a thief and a robber if he doesn't come through the door? Well, for you and I, the door to the spiritual realm is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we try to get in some other way, we'll find ourselves in trouble. I tried to get in other ways. Many of you had tried to get in other ways. I remember one time I was living in Calgary and I was renting a basement. This was way back in the 70s. And I was living in the basement of this home, this beautiful home. And this lady who was visiting there sometime, she had this book and it was about transcendental meditation and about all kinds of weird stuff in the spirit. And I was reading it. And the more I was reading it, the more I was getting into it. And I find myself having dreams. And I found myself getting over there into the spirit, even before I was ever saved, and actually getting out of my body and going into other lands. I knew that I was going over and I could recognize other nations and so forth. I didn't know anything about when it comes to spiritual things at that time, but I knew something strange was happening and I knew enough to get out of that. I don't know how I knew, but I decided that book wasn't for me. That lady had been trying to tell me some stuff, and I didn't go there, thank God. That is a way into the realm of the Spirit. Another way I tried to get in and I embraced quite a bit more is when I started using drugs. Drugs will bring you, is a doorway to the realm of the Spirit. When you start off with the drugs that alternate your mind and begin to touch your emotions, it goes deeper than that. It opens the door for you to enter into the realm of the Spirit so that you'll become controlled by spirit influences. Now, when you do that through drugs and you get controlled by spiritual influence, then it is dark spiritual influences that you get control of, or they get control of you. When you go through the door of Jesus, you want spiritual influence, but you want the Spirit of God influencing, and He will. Back when I was a teenager and watched many of the rock stars of the day and so forth, used to watch them, and a lot of them were doing a lot of drugs, and actually the influence that came from the spiritual realm brought many of them to stardom, brought many of them to places of prominence, of fame, as far as the world is concerned. But I'll tell you one thing, a lot of those guys aren't around today. A lot of those guys ended up doing themselves in or getting themselves in such a mess, they end up in insane asylums and all kinds of things. And the drugs had a large part to do with it, but there was something deeper behind the drugs that really put them there. And that was the spiritual influences that were coming into their lives as they opened the door to the enemy. I remember one time watching a guy playing. We were in a place one time, and it wasn't a good spot to be in. There was all kinds of demon activity. Of course, I didn't know that's what it was, and I remember watching this guy playing one night. We were sitting around, and he was playing his guitar, and I was amazed at the way he was playing that guitar. And after it was done, I said, man, I couldn't believe, I didn't know you were that good a guitar player. I couldn't believe how well you were playing. And he looked at me, and with something in his eyes, a fear in his eyes, he said, just as clear as anything, that wasn't me, Bill. He knew that there was something else that had taken control, and he was just allowing it to do whatever it wanted to do. There was something else that was happening. He had opened the door to a spiritual realm, and a spiritual entity came in then and tried to do something, tried to influence him. I don't really know where I'm going in this direction because this is totally not my notes. But I feel the Lord wants to really say something here. There's something about the spiritual realm that He wants us to tap into. There's something about the spiritual realm that He wants us to be in awe of. The spiritual realm does have influence in our lives, and so far too often we are busy every day doing things, not counting in the effect and influence of the spiritual realm. And we have to come to the place where our prayer life shows that we know that the spiritual realm can influence us. And if we are neglectful in our prayer life, we are not showing that the spiritual realm really has any influence at all. Now, as I said before, man tried to tap into that, and they've done that in Abraham's day. They've did that through worshiping idols, making gods for themselves. Making gods, whether it be in the physical, they would make something to worship. Why? Because it was a burden on the inside of them to tap into the spiritual realm. And when we go knocking on doors, spiritual doors, trying to get in some other way, it is from a genuine God-given thirst for the spiritual realm. But he says, I want to satisfy that thirst through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through some other way, not through some other fashion. He wants us to come. He wants us to enter in. He wants us to know the spiritual realm, but he wants us to enter in according to his direction. Jesus said, I am the door. Say that with me. Jesus, I declare you're the door. Now, the enemy will try to do everything he can in order to get us thinking in the natural so we will not have time to go to the spiritual door to find out what God really has for us. The enemy will try to get us to be consumed with material things, with benefits in the natural realm. The enemy will try to get us to get attached to material things in order so that we won't seek the blessing that comes from the spiritual realm. And he'll do that in many ways. He'll think that we have to do everything possible in order to make sure that we are comfortable, for instance. And God wants us to be comfortable, but he doesn't want us to spend all our time trying to get that. He wants us to get over there in the realm of the Spirit and realize that all good things come from above. We said last week talked about an idol. We talked about that it's an image or anything that is used as an object of worship in the place of God. It is an image made to represent the idea of a god or a supernatural being. It is phantoms of the mind or apparitions of the mind. The image of God created by the hand of man or by the mind of man. An image created by the hand of man, which would speak to the natural, something you could see probably, or by the mind of man. What do I mean by the mind of man? I mean something that man conjures up in his mind, an image that he wants to work before, toward, or that he wants to come into his life. These all can be idols. There can be things that we think about and meditate on that become idols in our lives. And Jesus told us to set our minds on things above. Actually, Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, told us to set our minds on things above and not on things of the earth, so that we'll have a proper perspective. We'll be looking to the things above and not on things of the earth as we pray to the Lord. Now, we said in Acts chapter 7, verse 41, talked about how Stephen was preaching to the Jews and how Israel missed it. And he was really declaring some of the Old Testament things that happened when it said, he was really talking about when Moses went up in the mountain and the children of Israel created an idol. He said this in verse 41 of Acts chapter 7. And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Rejoice at the works of their own hands. Or you could say, because I think it relates more better to where we're at today, they rejoiced at the image that they set up in their own mind. Now think of this. They made a calf out of gold. And from natural perspective, you and I could never think that, you know, a calf of gold is just a calf of gold. It's just gold shaped in the form of a calf. But it's not a god. But yet, Aaron said that he threw all this gold in the fire, he molded this calf, and then he said, this is your God. And so there was something spiritual attached to it. There was spiritual significance attached to that idol that went beyond just the form of a calf. There was something set up in their mind, an idol, a way of thinking that began to influence them. And this happens so much in the day that we live in. The enemy is busy putting things in our mind that we want to work for. It may be something as noble as happiness. Oh, if I could just be happy. Oh, if I could just be happy. If I could just know the joy of life. If I could be just satisfied. The problem with that, it's all if I. You see, those things can all become idols. Even God-given things can become idols. The Apostle James, in setting a pattern for Christian belief and Christian practice, said this: write to them and tell them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from things strangled, and from blood. Instruction given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we would not get ourselves into a place where we would open ourselves up to sin. Do not dabble with things polluted by idols. In other words, don't make an idol out of something that will pollute your prayers to God. Let's do this here little thing here. Roy, come on up again, and Debbie just loves this, I can tell. You come on up too. We talked about this last week. Roy representing God, Debbie representing my idol.
How come he gets to be God?
Because I don't want him to get to be you. So here we are. We have a man has a God-given desire to have a wife. A man has a God-given desire to have someone to be a helpmeet with him and so forth. So that is a God-given thing. But man's God-given desire to have a wife, he didn't give us that in such a way that he's saying, I'm going to give you a wife or a spouse so that all your joy will come into being, so that you'll be happy now because you've got a spouse. That's not the reason why God is going to give a human being a spouse. It talked about God giving man a spouse to be a helpmeet. But I know that the joy, this person that I see in Debbie, when I see her, I see she's beautiful. So I began to pray, Lord, I want her as my spouse. And I can quote all the scriptures and I can say all the right things, declaring that, God, you said I could have a wife. So I've decided that Debbie is my wife. And I've decided that she's going to be my helpmate. And I've decided that she's going to cook for me and she's going to clean for me. And what a fool I am to believe that. If that's all it's going to be. But now she does much of that. Yeah. She does much of that. I'm going to get myself in trouble here now. Help me, Lord. God doesn't give us a spouse for them to be our slave. Let's put it that way. And if I'm looking to Debbie now, if I'm saying, God, I want to be happy. I want to have a fulfilled life. I'm looking to Debbie because I want her to fulfill a void in my life. She's going to bring me happiness. That's why I want her, Lord, because she's going to bring me happiness. So, Lord, I'm just praying right now for Debbie. I pray, God, that you would bring her to me. Open her eyes. Bring her to her. Common sense, Lord, and let her see the good things in me. Help her, God. She needs help to see the good things in me. But we pray that way, and we're praying honestly. Now, it could be something else. Debbie could represent something else totally. Could represent a Ford truck. Could represent a brand new Ford truck. My God, I need a Ford truck. Lord, I need a Ford truck so bad.